Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from the idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Alan. Do keep that page open if you've got it open, or get it up on your phone. Richard, I'd love to pray for you as you bring God's words to us this morning. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all the preparation Richard has put in to looking at this passage to help us to be able to understand it today. And so we ask that you would speak through him to us by your Holy Spirit for your glory's sake. Amen.
Amen. I wonder, have you ever had the experience of being in a new car, new to you? And it was all great when you had the guy with you there on the test drive. But now you've left the garage, and the nice salesperson isn't here with you now. And what you're finding is it is all a bit different to anything you've had before. And there must be a button somewhere for the rear windscreen heater. And there's got to be a way to adjust the volume of the radio and to stop that beeping sound. But where are they? How do we do this? And the traffic's getting heavier and people are starting to honk at you. And you're in charge. And even though everyone in the car says you're doing great, sometimes you just want to cry. Don't know if that resonates at all with any of you. That's not exactly the situation in the church in Thessalonica in our Bible reading, but there are some similarities. This is a letter to a very young church whose members and leaders alike are new to the faith and find themselves here trying to run this thing. And, you know, the people who'd been there helping them, bringing the message, have had to leave, and here they are, finding themselves suddenly in control of this vehicle that's a bit unfamiliar to them. You can read in Acts chapter 17 about how Paul and his friends had visited Thessalonica. People came to faith in Jesus Christ, but then there was an uproar. There were untrue accusations made, and Paul and Silas had to leave town very urgently. And Paul has been concerned for how they're getting on. He sent Timothy to visit and report back, and now he's writing to them to encourage them, to urge them to stay holy and to hold on to their hope in Jesus. But they're doing okay. They've found the stalk that controls the windscreen wipers, and they're going to get through this. They might feel like their situation is precarious, like the person going through busy traffic in that new-to-them car. But the church is strong in Thessalonica because its foundation is Jesus Christ and his good news. And so Paul gives thanks, and he encourages them to press on, to serve God, to let the message of Jesus ring out. Paul, along with Silas and Timothy, his friends, addresses his letter to the church of the Thessalonians. He's writing to the church. And when he says that, he's not addressing it to the building. They wouldn't have had one. He's not even writing to an organization. He's not writing to corporate headquarters. He's writing to his dear friends. He's writing to the assembly, the gathering. That's what the word church means here. And imagine belonging to that church, and this letter comes from Paul and his associates. They've been feeling on their own, under pressure, trying to keep everything going in this slightly weird situation where they still live in Thessalonica, but they no longer quite seem to belong there, to that city, in the way they used to, because now they belong to Jesus Christ. And this letter comes and the church gathers, and imagine their joy and anticipation in that gathering as the letter begins to be read. That's the church Paul's writing to. Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. They are doing okay. They're not just a random gathering of strangers who've been thrust together by circumstances. They are the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been brought together by Jesus to belong to God the Father. All of this accomplished by Jesus' grace. In other words, his unmerited good favor towards them, which has made all of this possible and has made peace between them and God, that's united them from a whole variety of different backgrounds into this common thing of belonging to God through Jesus' grace. And so Paul rejoices. He writes, "We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." And the news that Paul has received from Thessalonica is that the church there is characterized by faith and love and hope, those three qualities that he speaks about in much more detail, most famously in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And he's not just talking about an arbitrary faith and hope and love. He's talking specifically about faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, a love that reflects the love that they've been shown by the Lord Jesus Christ, and a hope for the future with the Lord Jesus Christ. These things are specific and Christian and Christ-centered, and they're qualities that play out in the life of this church. He speaks of your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, your endurance inspired by hope. Their work, labor, and endurance are the outworking of their faith and love and hope. These things are the evidence that things are well in Thessalonica. The reason Paul can be so joyous and confident about the Thessalonian church, despite their really difficult circumstances, is that he can see the gospel, he can see the good news of Jesus Christ at work in their lives. We're at verse 4 now, where he sees that the Christians there have been truly called by God. Paul's confident of this. They've been called by God. They belong to God. He's confident because the gospel came to them with more than just words. Not the words are unimportant, but this is actually good for us preachers to remember. We can preach the best or maybe sometimes the worst sermon of our lives, but people's response isn't determined by our eloquence. Thank God for that, keeping the preacher's feet on the ground. The gospel came to you, he says, not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. There is a power to change lives that belongs to the news itself, the gospel, rather than simply to the messenger and how good they are. A power that comes from Jesus Christ, God himself, come to earth, come as a man who was crucified, died, and buried, who rose to new life, who ascended into heaven from where he sends his Holy Spirit into the world. That's where the gospel's power to change lives comes from. The Holy Spirit has been at work in these fledgling Christians in Thessalonica, at work opening eyes and softening hearts to be able to grasp and respond to the good news about Jesus. He's been bending stubborn wills, helping people to see themselves as God does. And he does this still today, leading to, he says, deep conviction as they, and actually we, realize that we fall far short of who God would wish us to be, breaking our hearts as we see who we really are, and also in that same moment, showing us the glory and the beauty of a Christ who sees all that, who sees who we are, and who still willingly goes to the cross in our place anyway. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul sees in these Christians the power of the gospel, the work of the Holy Spirit, and the deep conviction of sin that means he knows they're called by God to be his. So the Christians in Thessalonica, they are called, and their call to belong to God has changed them fundamentally. It's changed who they are. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. They become imitators. First, the imitators of Paul and Silas, who'd brought them the good news about Jesus. But more importantly yet, they'd become imitators of the Lord Jesus himself. How did that look? It says they welcomed the message, even though it had plunged them almost immediately into severe suffering for their newfound faith. They had found a supernatural joy that it was given to them by the Holy Spirit, which enabled them to keep going, very much as Paul had found in his own ministry, and reflecting the sufferings of Jesus himself, who'd found the strength to keep going in the Garden of Gethsemane and to go even to the cross for us. And they became a model for other believers in turn. Paul tells them that throughout modern-day Greece, believers had heard of these Christians in Thessalonica and were trying to live like them, inspired by their example. They were a role model for other Christians precisely because they were themselves imitators of Christ. I wonder if you've known a Christian brother or sister who made you think, I see Jesus in them. And so you wanted to be more like that person too. I can think of some in this church over the years, absolutely. That's what Paul's describing here. And having become imitators and become a model for others, they also became heralds. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere, he writes. By word and by example, the good news of Jesus Christ is going out to other people because of the change in their lives. Faith in Jesus has changed who they are. They're now fundamentally different people to who they were before the gospel had reached them. And they've been converted. They live differently now. It's not just a Sunday thing. Everything's been turned upside down in their lives. And this too is becoming widely known throughout the whole region. People know that God is doing something special in this church because of how these Christians are now living. He writes, they tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. We got past and present and future all being transformed here. In the past, they had turned to God from idols. Thessalonica was home to many temples of the Greek gods. It was a center of the worship of Roman emperors. And these Christians had turned their backs on all that at considerable personal cost as they went against the prevailing culture of the city, rejecting these so-called gods and their human-made religion. In the present, they were serving the true and living God. Because it's not enough just to turn your back on what's untrue. The human heart seems to have a great need to fix itself on something, to have something that captivates us and draws our attention. So they've turned their back on the idols, but what are they going to fix their eyes on instead? Make it something real. These men and women in Thessalonica had discovered in Jesus Christ the one true God, the maker of the universe, alive and active, and wanting to command their lives, wanting to rule in their hearts with his loving grace and truth, and they let him do that. They were serving him. He was replacing the idols that they'd now rejected, filling the void that their former pretend gods had never fully satisfied. And for the future, they were waiting for his Son from heaven. Life was not smooth for these Christians, but they had a sure and confident and certain hope. Jesus will return, bringing about the new creation, doing away with suffering and sin, righting every wrong, rescuing his own from condemnation on that day. And in their circumstances, this was a great hope to hold on to, and they did so with eager anticipation. That was the news that was spreading about this church in Thessalonica. So what do we have there? In this city, a church, an assembly, a gathering brought together by God through Jesus Christ, a people who've been called by God, changed in their very identity as they trust in Christ, a people whose lives have been totally converted, changed as they turn and serve and wait. What we see here is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you trust this good news? is this Jesus crucified and risen for us. Jesus who brings joy even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of feeling you just don't belong in the society where you're placed. Jesus who convicts us of our fallenness and saves us from its consequences. Is this Jesus good news for you? Maybe you're just coming increasingly to realize the truth of this good news and to trust in this Jesus. Or maybe you've been a believer for many years. Either way, thank God for this gospel. It was good news in first century Greece. It is good news in 21st century Solihull. Even when pressed in by the many cares of the world around us, we can find hope in this same Jesus who had changed these Christians gathered in Thessalonica and ask him to make this message ring out from us by our words and our deeds and by who we now are in Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the church in Thessalonica to whom Paul and Silas and Timothy wrote. Thank you for how you changed their lives, how you made them a model to all the believers around them. Lord, like them, may we more and more be a church known for our faith in you, known for our imitation of you, Jesus, and a model to others of what it means to find hope and joy in his good news. Help us in our day to turn from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for you to come again to restore all things. Amen.